Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. I promised you guys that I would get to the rest of your questions. There are still quite a few to go. So I'm just going to go ahead and dive on in. Yesterday we talked quite a bit about Rob Pelinka and potential positives that he brings to the table there. And then, you know, what remains on the line in case things don't work out there. I wrote an article, I literally just published it, for Silver Screen and Roll, talking about Thrones, Game of Thrones, one of the central themes, if not the maybe central theme, at least of the early seasons, of that show and of that source material, and how that links back to the Lakers. And basically the premise that I made was, you know, in Thrones, if just surviving wasn't enough, if just, you know, remaining alive and seeing your family remain safe wasn't enough, those characters who didn't find that to be enough tended to get eventually, right? And I think as it relates to the Lakers, and I'm sure this will come up over the course of the show as well, but as it pertains to the Lakers, the line of thinking here is, okay, They're not only interested in success, they're not only interested in wins and titles and all of that, but it has to come a certain way. It has to come by way of the Lakers family. And I think in this case, they're letting that idealism get in the way of actual productivity, and the balance is thrown out of whack. Now, I understand the need for principles, right? If you don't have any principles, nobody really knows what you stand for. And as such, nobody is really going to trust you. The difference here, though, is that you if you find a balance of that principled stance and what is actually best for you and the people around you, chances are that you'll find some type of a success there, and so especially if you're willing to allow your expectations of success remain in a relatively realistic place. So check that out on Silver Screen and Roll. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. Let's dive on into these questions. So first one comes from McNugget 2483. This is about Kirk Cousins. Figured you want a break from the turmoil that is being a Lakers fan. As a Redskins fan, I'm glad that Kirk is gone. Felt he was overrated. But as a Vikings fan, how do you feel about Kirk? Congrats on the baby. One, thank you for the congrats on the baby. Two, regarding Kirk, I don't know. I was never really all that thrilled about it. $30 million, you sign a guy to a $30 million contract, and then the team doesn't make the playoffs. After you were in the conference championship game the season before, and that was really the biggest change to the roster. So I think that was a bit of a bummer to see how that turned out. I just don't think he's a very particularly inspiring guy, and I think as a quarterback, not only do you have to be really good as, you know, skill wise, but I also think you kind of have to be a leader of men, and he just seems so milquetoast to me. And he just seems so uninspiring. And then, you know, it's getting really hard, if it isn't already impossible, to ignore his record against good teams. He's very good against teams that aren't very good. He's very good in games that don't, you know, have much stake to them. But you know, when the going gets tough and you really need your quarterback to win you a football game, I'm not really positive Kirk Cousins is the guy to do it. Which is really unfortunate considering how much money the Vikings gave him. So here's hoping they can get out of that contract fairly soon. I'm really not a fan. All right, next question here comes from LA 240825. All of the Lakers numbers, if I remember correctly. First question is, hi, Anthony, man, I love the show. But I have two questions. First, if the Lakers still find a way to be in the playoffs this season, does Magic Johnson still resign? If he does he do it in the same way? And also, at what point of incompetence do we start to feud Genie as we do with Robert Sarver and James Dolan? So the Magic question is really interesting. I want to say that he's probably still around, right? He gave a bunch of reasons. He said he wanted to be able to tweet again. He wanted to be able to be a role model again. He wanted to be able to focus and get back to living his great life. I think, you know, and while a lot of people said, you know, let the guy be happy, and I am fine, you know, move on. The Lakers were better off without him. But I think when it comes to his happiness, right, he spoke a lot about how he was unhappy as Lakers president of basketball operations. And I think one thing that goes into a lot of unhappiness is a lack of success. And specifically in this respect, he came in, he's a made man in Los Angeles. And I think even still, you know, I think his legacy takes a bit of a hit there. It's going to be impossible to think of him, you know, he was a player 30, 40 years ago, right? And it's going to be really hard at this point when the things that you connect Magic Johnson to are, he was a failure as a coach. He was a failure as a late night TV host. He was a failure as a president of basketball operations. He resigned in borderline cowardice and outright unprofessionalism, right? So those are things that he's going to be synonymous with more recently than his days as a player. He is obviously a huge success in the business realm, and him getting back to that will save some of his brand in and of itself. But these things, the way that things turned out, it's going to be really hard for him to separate himself from that. And I think that was really impacting his own level of happiness. But if the Lakers make the playoffs, right, and especially if they have a little bit of success in the playoffs, well, he gets credited with that to a certain extent. And you know, I would imagine to a certain extent he's going to want to, he would want to stick around to see if he can continue that forward momentum. And honestly, one thing that I don't think has been speculated enough about is, did he get out because he knew something that we didn't, right? Now, there is, I've been talking about this weird report that ESPN apparently has out there. I'm not sure what's going on there. It seems to me like it's not coming. So, you know, it's good to find out that maybe he wasn't as bad as some were speculating that he was, in terms of the way that he was treating people that worked with him with the Lakers. But I also think, though, that, you know, if he got out, and he got out because the winds were whispering to him that, hey, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to get a, you know, Kawhi, Kemba, anybody, right? Then he's probably, you know, then there's reason to worry there. Not saying that that's actually the case, that that's definitely the case, or you know, how confident I am that's why he left. But I do think, though, that if the season goes better, if the Lakers were in the playoffs right now, and if they had any kind of success in the playoffs, he would still be the president of basketball operations. And the fact that I feel that way makes it feel all the more disappointing how it ended, right? Because, like, you made this mess, and instead of fixing it, you just took off. And for somebody who a lot of people consider a hero, an icon beyond basketball, that's kind of a bummer to see how that turned out. Regarding Jeannie and Sarver and Dolan, look, Dolan's been a bad owner now for like 20 years. Robert Sarver has never been a good owner, right? Jeannie at least comes from a background. She has seen the Lakers be successful at some point. And if things don't go well here with Rob Pelinka, then I think she has more pride in the Lakers than Dolan does with the Knicks. And then even Robert Sarver does with the Suns. I want to believe that, though. There are a couple signs that make me a little nervous, but I think we're still a ways out before we start putting Jeannie in that category. And some people are saying it'll never happen. That's wild to me. It's crazy to me that given everything that we've seen so far, that people are still like, nope, never going to happen. Why not prepare yourself for the worst? And then if it doesn't reach there, if your expectations get overdone, right? If your expectations are exceeded, then awesome, right? It just seems like the smarter way to go about things. We're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your questions. Today's show is brought to you in part by ZipRecruiter. Hiring the right person for the job can be stressful. Just ask Jeannie Buss. Employers have to search through resume after resume, hoping one sets itself apart from the others for all the right reasons, and there's nothing worse than a resume giving the wrong first impression before you even get to meet the candidate. Now, with ZipRecruiter, those days and worries are over. Head on over to ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon to see why. ZipRecruiter sends your job opening to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, so the next question here comes from Trip Before C. It's a question for Pete and I. I'll read it and make a decision based on what I read, how I feel about the question. So Anthony and Pete, a hypothetical here. Say you had the power to make the roster. Anthony Davis is off the table, but you could trade the young core for a different star on any team or keep the young core and get two mid-level stars in this free agency, or trade LeBron for two young, promising players. What would you do, and who would you pick? Look, if you trade LeBron, you're admitting that organizationally you aren't ready for those kinds of expectations, and I don't think the Lakers can do that. So I don't think trading LeBron is really on the table. If I could trade the young guys, I would rather not trade the young guys, because there's nobody that the Lakers could realistically trade any of the young core for right now who would move the needle in ways that Lakers fans would expect, right? Lonzo Ball is coming off of yet another season where he missed a huge chunk of the year. Brandon Ingram has huge concerns about whether or not he's going to be able to recover fully, and you know, league-wide, that's the perception right now, and that's what the Lakers will be going up against, and you don't want to trade somebody with that hanging over everybody's head, not just from a human standpoint, right? From just being humane, that, you know, Ingram has all these questions swirling around in his head, and then now all of a sudden you're going to ship him out. It just seems like a great way to piss off the basketball gods. But also from an asset management situation, it just doesn't make any sense to trade somebody at their absolute lowest value. That was always the knock on the D'Angelo Russell trade, was why not see if he can improve his reputation around the league? And if he does do that, then you can get more for him than a single year of Brook Lopez and moving off of Timofey Mozgov's contract, right? So I don't think it makes very much sense to move the kids. So that leaves signing a couple mid-level stars. Now, they don't have the enough money to sign a couple mid-level stars, but let's say they go after a Kemba Walker and then use their remaining, I think they would have like $7 or $8 million plus, you know, the exceptions and minimum guys who come over just to chase rings. I think there's enough there to really put a team together. Now, it's not going to meet the expectations that were set up when Magic took over, but guess what? Magic's gone, right? So we kind of have to rethink our expectations here a little bit. Although even with that said, I guess my own retort to myself here is, well, yeah, you can rethink your expectations, but because Rob Pelinka was kept without even talking to the Bob Myers, the Sam Prestes, the R.C. Bufords, or the Masai Ujiris, that he has to produce at a level that those guys would be able to. So even while we're putting our expectations at a more realistic place, in order for that decision to warrant itself, to explain itself, he needs to really produce in ways that exceed our expectations. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And that's the direction I think that makes the most sense for the Lakers. You can add a couple guys without taking anybody else off the roster. You hope that Lonzo makes a full recovery. Hopefully he signs with Nike or you know, Adidas or even Under Armour. Uses those resources to be able to rethink his physical approach to the game. And you know, like Steph Curry had to relearn how to walk, for example, right? And I think Lonzo might benefit from doing that. Hopefully Ingram makes it through all of these things and comes back into next season, showing some of the things that he did late in the year. The one thing that I'm really hoping, I don't know what could even be done in this respect, but Ingram, just historically, apparently in high school he had this to a little bit. In college he had it at Duke. And then his first couple years here in the NBA, he has started the season really slowly and then picked things up as the season went along. So I don't know what the Lakers could even do to change up that trend, but whatever they can do, I hope they figure out a way to do it. I just think that's the easiest way forward with the lowest amount of risk, and really that's what the Lakers are fighting against, right? So we'll see. Next one here comes from Tosca Bella. I read a great hot take comment on The Athletic that Kobe is really pulling all the strings, e.g. Pelinka, to create chaos and keep LeBron from winning a title as a Laker so he can make the GOAT argument. Love it. Thoughts? P.S. Your podcasts are tremendous. Thank you very much. It's a fun one, right? And here's the thing. I don't honestly believe it, but these are where fun conspiracy theories can just be fun because you can run with it. You can speculate wildly. And if you wind up being hilariously wrong, well, that was always probably the likely outcome, right? That's how conspiracies go. The idea of Kobe like working as a shadow agent, like a mole basically, to make sure that LeBron doesn't actually succeed in ways that the Lakers fans expected him to, and thus will never be seen as good as Kobe. That's a fun one, right? And also Kobe's kind of sort of psychotic enough to try it. It's funny to me some people would roll there. I don't believe it, but you know what? It would be a really fun, like I would want, if that actually wound up being true, I would need that documentary done yesterday. I would need the steps. I would, you know, inject Kobe with all the truth serum. You know how bad guys give their super long speeches to the good guy right before the good guy finds a way to get out of whatever snag they're in and kills the bad guy? Like, I would need that speech from Kobe and the steps that he took and how he actually hired Pelinka, made him his agent years ago when LeBron came into the league. I don't even know if this matches up, but he comes into the league and LeBron hires Pelinka and keeps him around. Kobe knew that his money was always going to be safe anyway, so he may as well hire. It didn't really matter who he hired as his agent. His own play, his level of play was going to do the negotiating for him. So he keeps Pelinka, and years down the road, LeBron would one day want to be a Laker. And Kobe, by way of implementing and building a relationship between Pelinka and the Lakers, could slide Pelinka in there, knowing that he was going to be such a doofus that he couldn't figure it out. And then Pelinka doesn't figure it out. And then there you have the way that the season turned out, or last season turned out. That's a really fun conspiracy. It's in a movie I would absolutely watch featuring like The Rock or something like that. That'd be great. Let's take another quick second here. And when we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your guys' questions. By the way, before anybody gets too crazy at and angry at me for that conspiracy. One, it wasn't even my conspiracy. Two, I tried to make it as obvious as I possibly could that we were having a little bit of fun there, right? It's a little hard to do that when it's a solo pod because nobody's laughing at my jokes. Not that they laugh at my jokes anyway, but still, it's still, I tried to talk in a ridiculous manner so that everybody was understanding that was just a conspiracy theory. I was just playing off of a question that was asked. I promise. I don't actually think Kobe is a secret agent working against the Lakers' best interests. Maybe. All right, next question comes from Bloodskeet. It's an interesting name. Actually addicted to the podcast. Can't wait for next season when you can talk about wins. Let's not use when there because I feel like we're challenging the basketball gods. But in the meantime, I know you love to talk about how well D'Lo has played and how embarrassing that is for the Lakers. Can you and Pete speak a little bit about how bad his playoff performance was? 35 of 93 overall, 38% from the field, 12 of 37 from three, 32%, and how this would have been received if he was a Laker. Seems like more pressure if you struggle on a Laker squad versus very little comments on it as a net. So, all right. Yes, there's something to that, that like had D'Angelo Russell performed that way as a Laker, especially if LeBron James was on the team, that he would have been ridiculed hugely. That said, LeBron James wasn't on the team. And the fact that Russell got that or helped get, he didn't drag them there single-handedly, though he had a tremendous year. The fact that that D'Angelo Russell got that team or helped get that team to the playoffs, from that point on, he was playing with house money, right? And so when you're playing with house money, and anybody who's gambled before, you know, if you have a nice enough time at a blackjack table, I'd say you sit down with a couple $100, you quickly rip off a few hands and you go up a couple $100. You color up those 200, you put those in your pocket. Now, whatever you're playing with now, you can play knowing that it's just profits that I'm playing with at that point, right? And so I kind of think that's where Russell was heading into these playoffs. He was also going up against a much better Philadelphia 76ers team, and one that like Ben Simmons, as annoying and as frustrating as his offensive game can be, tall Rondo, you know, but Rondo from Down Under, I think was another one. But he is an outstanding defensive player, and he has the length to bother just about anybody he's guarding, especially D'Angelo Russell. One thing that Russell is really going to have to figure out moving forward in his career is ways to generate space. A lot of his shots are really tough looks, and it's a lot of contested stuff off of the dribble. And I just don't think that's a very sustainable way. I don't think that's a very sustainable approach to offensive basketball. So I think Russell still has to improve. But I'm not going to ridicule his playoff performance because, honestly, the accomplishment in and of itself was getting that team to that spot. But I appreciate the question. Doc McSims asks, is it just me, but have you noticed that LeBron has been surrounded by crappy ownership since he's been in the league? Outside of Miami, which was good ownership, LeBron has had to adjust. This time, the stupidity is at an all-time high. My issue is this. Why does the LA media keep talking about LeBron as if he's declined so much? He was coming back from injury. Doesn't this make players not want to join him in LA? If 710 ESPN is always talking crap on top of ownership being horrible too. So, look. One thing that everybody's kind of have to realize when it comes to ESPN and 710, like, they're a corporate partner with the NBA, and the NBA's top entity is the Lakers, right? So ESPN is going to tread kind of lightly as it pertains to criticizing not just the Lakers, but especially Jeannie Buss. That's something that not very many of them are going to be willing to do. And that's before you get to the fact that, like, John Ireland is a Lakers employee. Mike Trudell also is a Lakers employee. And, you know, Michael Thompson also is a Lakers employee. And you know, if Ramona Shelburne wants to continue to have the access that she does, she has to kind of be careful about what she says. And she definitely can't speculate based on the amount of information that she has, right? Because that's a great way to lose some of the access that makes her a uniquely qualified person to speak on the Lakers. So all of that comes together, and you can kind of see how sometimes some punches get pulled with the Lakers. And, you know, Ramona, I don't think is now I'm not going to go there with Ramona, but those same kind of partnerships don't exist with LeBron. Now, while he is maybe the most powerful player that the NBA has ever produced, he's still nowhere near as powerful as an owner, right? While his, you know, LRMR team has tried to create a situation where they can wield their power over the rest of the NBA, they're still nowhere near as powerful as an owner. Hell, they couldn't wield their power over Gail Benson and the New Orleans Pelicans, right? At the end of the day, Benson just said, nope, Anthony Davis is not going where he wants to go. He is not going to the Lakers. We are not going to do LRMR a favor here and send Davis not just to the Lakers, but to LeBron James. So, yeah, I think some of the analysis with LeBron, it's a little easier to criticize LeBron than it is to criticize Jeannie Buss without repercussion. In terms of the ownership that LeBron has played for, I'll put it like this. This is the number one reason why some out there, and I'm kind of on the fence on this subject, some out there are against drafting future professional athletes, right? That a huge, the first decision that they ever make in their professional lives, other than to actually go pro, is already made for them, because they get drafted and then they have to go wherever they're drafted, right? Now, there are the occasional athlete who holds out and says they will not go somewhere. Eli Manning did that, remember, with the San Diego Chargers at the time, and eventually forced his way to the New York Giants. But I think, you know, that still comes with a price, and not all athletes are willing to pay that price. And you know, some of these owners getting rewarded, like, for example, let's say Zion Williamson goes to Cleveland, and Dan Gilbert's reward for screwing up twice with LeBron James now is Zion Williamson. That's not a great message to send to anybody, right? If the Bulls win the lottery and they get Zion, somehow that owner, whose name is slipping my mind right now, but he's an awful owner, and he's hugely cheap, hilariously cheap. And yet he gets Zion Williamson, right? If the Lakers, you know, whose ownership is completely in flux right now, they somehow luck out and win the lottery, and Zion Williamson comes and plays for the Lakers and LeBron James, and their reward for screwing up the way that they did last year is basically a complete redo button. Like, I would love it. I would laugh my absolute ass off here on the show. That'd be a lot of fun. But, you know, rewarding owners for that kind of stuff is not great. So LeBron is the rare athlete who might still be good enough to overcome some ownership flaws. But even still, you put LeBron with, you know, Joe Lacob in Golden State. You put him with, you know, some of the other owners around the league. Pat Riley, I forget the Miami Heat owner. But you put LeBron in Miami sooner, right? Like, Dwayne Wade won a championship before LeBron got there, and you know, it's kind of a frustrating subject to talk about, because there's nothing that can really be done. If you have a bad owner, you have a bad owner. That's why we're all pulling for Jeannie Buss to not be a bad owner. But if you know, an athlete goes to those situations and with no ability to choose wherever their preferred first destination, then then what, you know? So I think it's more a coincidence that LeBron has dealt with so much bad poor ownership. But I also, though, think that owners can, you know, LeBron was so good that you don't really recognize how bad those owners are until he isn't as good, right? And I think we kind of saw that last year with the Lakers, where you think, oh, LeBron's good enough that even if Genie is just Jim 2.0, right, that he'll just figure things out. But he wasn't able to. He got hurt, and you ran into a situation that you had last year. So I think it's a coincidence. I hope that someday more is done to really punish owners for being bad at their jobs. That would be great. Next question here. Last question comes from Mr. Awesome 03000. Thanks for a great podcast. You're welcome. Your hard work and dedication to the Lakers, even though they are Drama Island, means a lot to a lot of us. Thank you. Lakers coaching question. I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but during our 2001 playoff run, we played Philly. Lakers against Allen Iverson. To prep and get ready for the matchup, Tyronn Lue braided his hair in an attempt to be like Iverson and pump himself up. Question: what hairstyle of a famous player, exec, coach should Tyronn do this time to get the head coaching job? Thanks. P.S. Any chance of a live recording this summer at a local bar/restaurant to take live questions? So I'll start there regarding the live thing. We are working on that. We have some very promising prospects in that regard. I'm not going to say anything right now because I don't want to jinx it, but we did it once last season. I think we're going to try to do it quite a bit more this year. So I'm really looking forward to that. Anytime I can meet you guys, the better. It makes my month. In terms of the hair thing, one, I'm not necessarily positive that's why Lou braided his hair. I've never heard that or read that anywhere, but if that is an actual thing, and I'll hop off here and I'll see if I can research it. But I don't think that's why he did it. If that was why he did it, is there a hairdo that he could go with that would make him a better coach? You know what? I want to see a coach with like a hugely modern hairdo. I think that would be a lot of fun, right? Like right now, for a while there, a lot of the players were going with like the wider kind of mohawk up top. I'd love to see Mr. Leadership Lakers head coach rock that kind of thing. That'd be great. Dreads would be hilarious, right? Like imagine if Tyronn Lue goes out, grows dreads, comes back and is like, it winds up being the greatest coach of all time. And you look back and the greatest coach of all time was rocking dreads on his like Hall of Fame thing. Ah, oh, that'd be incredible. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not really a hairdo guy. I'm anal about my hair. I care a lot about the way that my hair gets cut and stuff like that. But when it comes to other guys' hair, I usually keep my hands off. I'll let that be as it will. Though if Tyronn Lue wants to come and coach the Lakers with the straight backs that he had back in the day when he was guarding Allen Iverson, I am 1,000,000% for it. All the way aboard that one. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you, everybody, who sent in questions. Hugely, hugely appreciate that. That helps us keep the lights on here and continues to give us a bunch of topics that we can have a little bit of fun with. So send those in. Remember, the topic can be just about anything. And if you send it in the form of a 5-star review, you will guarantee that your question gets answered. Thanks very much. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.